Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Beacon Podcast. This episode, we are going to make the case that silver, the commodity, is being manipulated. The price of silver is being manipulated low. Thank you for joining us on the Beacon Podcast.
Attention, citizens. Due to the financial irresponsibility and incompetence of your leaders, Cobra has found it necessary to restructure your nation's economy. We have begun by eliminating the worthless green paper, which your government has deceived you into believing is valuable. Cobra will come to your rescue, and out of the ashes will arise a new order!
We want money!
Cobra has us exactly where they want us, helpless. In less than a week, buying and selling have been replaced by rioting and looting.
And you can't reestablish order until you print new currency.
And you can't print new currency because Cobra will just destroy it.
Yeah, in short, Cobra's got us basting over a fire.
And time is on their side. With every passing day, the economy sinks deeper into chaos.
So Cobra Commander just has to sit back and wait for the country to fall into his hands.
Then we have one thing going for us. He doesn't know how to wait.
Hey, boss! That hissing fool's on the TV again!
Citizens of the United States, I am pleased to announce Cobra's economic recovery plan. If you want money to buy food for your children, take all your valuables to the nearest branch of Extensive Enterprises. There, all goods will be exchanged for Cobra currency.
That's it. We've got our lead.
Oh, yeah. We're back. And we're glad to be back.
He told us not to just come back, but we are back. But we're not money grabbers.
Yeah. And we're not order followers. So when he tells us don't come back, we naturally will rebel and resist and come back.
Absolutely.
And we're back. In your pocket.
I need to listen to this band more. Like, I seen a VH1 live performance one, and they were pretty good. It was pretty
fits in the
tantrums?
Fits in the tantrums.
It's a different sound, you know?
Oh,
I guess
yeah.
They all met in college, just became friends, and started jamming.
Really?
That's my understanding of their history.
That's the best way to do it. That's yeah. Me and Isaac will just jam. Like, sometimes if he comes over to hang out, we'll hang out. And then sometimes it just turns into a jam session.
Jam it out.
It's fun. All right, let me turn that down, not off.
Money grabber. I was liking the old intro to the 80s G.I. Joe. That's so
yeah, cool. That's interesting,
that
stuff, huh?
That's something I used to watch on the kids.
What I personally believe, which is a little bit paranoid, but I got good reason to believe it, is that a lot of the industry, like film and music industry, is actually has a little bit worse intentions than making money. Hollywood's already been cleaned out in the, I think it was the 40s, Myron Fagan exposed, he actually put on a play and he exposed all the communists in, subversive communists in the film industry, and he was naming like all of them and the big names, and he outed like Charlie Chaplin, Audrey Hepburn, like major names, and it was pretty crazy. When he did it, he made the announcement that he was gonna out, like, spill the beans on all the whole industry and the individuals and everything, and militia members ended up coming from all over the country to hold guard around that theater in Hollywood where he was going to do this, because they feared that communists would like do everything in their power to try to prevent him from giving this speech at his play. Yeah. So Hollywood's been cleaned out
or
before.
Or even show the play, probably.
Our government's been... yeah, it was like a play. Yeah, yeah. He was a director, I believe.
Okay.
Like a bigwig director. And and also the government's been cleaned out before of all these communist infiltrators. You had the Red Scare with what's his name, McCarthy,
mm-hmm.
and he, you know, outed all these communist infiltrators. That's kind of what they do. Like, we also probably do the same thing to communist and socialist countries. We probably have infiltrators in there too, but they've obviously done it to us as well. But anyways, I think a lot of the music and film industry is in that same, like, spirit. Like, they're doing a lot of the same stuff. And wow, where was I going with that one? We were talking about
G.I. Joe in the 80s.
Oh yeah, G.I. Joe. Yeah. So when they end up getting into like that kind of detail, like, okay,
for a cartoon, that's a Saturday morning cartoon for kids.
Cartoon.
I used to watch that on Saturday morning.
Do you hear what he says? He's like, "We're going to restructure your economy that your government and the dollars that your government made you believe was valuable."
Mm-hmm.
And out of this crash or the destruction of your currency will arise a new order.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about that whole subject on this show. But there's good reason to believe, too, that the film industry is like knew exactly what they're talking about when they say something like that. And mm-hmm. I don't know if it's for people's, like, kids' subconsciouses to pick up, and then they just kind of expect that to happen later. Or I don't know. But it's interesting. So, today we're going to talk about silver. We're going to give you guys the story of silver. Silver is a very, very interesting substance. Historically, it has a very interesting history as well.
You're a big fan.
I'm a huge fan of owning physical silver, and I think I'll make the case why it's an important thing for everybody to own, at least.
Not only economically, but you like it for your health as well, correct?
Sure, yeah. It has health properties to it. It's antiseptic, antifungal, antiviral. So you'll see it like impregnated into a lot of water filters for that reason. A lot of clothing, like it's the latest thing now to put it in underwear.
Mm.
Like they mesh it into the fibers that make a lot of like high quality underwears because it fights like the different skin bacteria stains that build up. Yeah.
You don't want
to skin. And it's supposed to like make like your underwear smell a whole lot better because it can't build up all those bacteria and shit.
Yeah, if you're in a new relationship, you want your lady seeing those horrible skid stains.
Exactly. Well, I don't know if it can do anything about the skid marks. Yeah, it's not like a shit preventer.
Yeah.
You're still going to shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks.
And maybe get wedgies, you know, afterwards.
Sure, yeah. They do need to do something about that whole, like, skid mark phenomenon, though.
It's called wiping better.
Yeah, that's true. Although, do some people just leak?
I think
so.
Do
they just not
sharding,
wipe well enough?
Shard a little, you know.
Do they leak, or are they not wiping well enough?
Well, there's a lot of side effects from all these pills they see on television, and one of them is anal leakage.
Mm.
You know, if you can't see good or sleep, or your legs shake a little while, or, you know, you have a headache, and you take a pill, one of the side effects is your butthole's going to leak.
What would you rather have, a headache or anal leakage?
I guess it depends on the headache.
Would you rather have your legs shake or anal leakage?
Leg shake.
For sure.
Yeah.
My leg's shaking right now. Like, my leg shakes all the time. Doesn't mean... That's another thing, though, I think
sleep?
Is kind of stupid. Like, everybody's got a syndrome now.
Absolutely.
What do they call it? Restless leg syndrome?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Like, everything could be a syndrome then, right? Like, you've got...
if it's not a syndrome, you have a disorder.
Yeah.
But isn't that part of the communist agenda to defeat the West is exploit... people's disorders and
I don't know. It might be. I don't know. But I do know that it definitely makes people like it seems like it's making people a lot less like tough.
Absolutely. It's weakening our, you know, I'm allergic to peanut butter and gluten, so I'm going to need my own little.
Don't make fun of me, though. Section it's of the restaurant, a please. Disease. Yeah. It's a syndrome.
I'm serious about this.
I'm not responsible for my own, you know, like, instead of trying to figure out, you know.
Yeah.
Why, like, maybe you're overeating. Maybe that's what made you fat. No, you have a disease. Now, I will say there is some metabolic disorders.
You got to tell everybody
disorders.
About it.
Yeah,
they're gonna tell everybody and make sure it's a big ordeal.
Just so you know.
And yeah, and it's always like well-to-do chicks in their mid-20s to 30s, and they gotta let everybody know, like, I can't have that pasta because of the gluten. Yeah. And we're talking about something that was an old thing. Have you heard about anybody with their gluten anymore? It was a huge fucking.
What about Ebola? What happened to Ebola?
Ebola's gone. Ebola now it's Zika. Now we got to worry about Zika.
It was going to take over, and that was going. This was going to be the Black Plague. Remember, the media had everybody scared shitless. Yeah. Did we talk about
get
that?
Get your
on
shots,
show?
Motherfuckers. Yeah.
We were like, yeah, don't worry.
Now it's Zika. I never go to the doctor. I never do anything. And guess what? I'm fine.
Just eat healthy. Your body likes to heal itself. If you start drinking too much or doing, you know, too much unhealthy stuff and your body starts getting sick, clean it up. Exercise, eat veggies, supplement with minerals and nutrients. And your body wants to heal itself. It's in a state of order.
Yeah.
Chowda.
Chowda.
Chowda. Mic check. Chowda. All right, so let's start talking about this subject, because if I don't get started now,
we always just doze off and
we just end up talking. But I don't get to hang out with you enough.
I know, what the hell.
I know. Okay, so silver, we're gonna make the case that the price of silver has been manipulated to the downside, ladies and gentlemen, to the downside, which makes a good case for buying and owning some of it very advantageous to the common man. Let's talk a little bit about the history of silver, shall we?
It was born on the earth.
Yes, it was born on the earth.
Billions of years ago.
Okay, so I'm going to take this back to the Roman Empire. Okay. One of the reasons for the fall of the Roman Empire was the debasement of their currency. And what happened was their main unit of currency was, I think it was a tenth ounce of silver, and it was called a denarius. And a tenth of an ounce of silver historically has always been, on average, a day's hard labor wages. One tenth of an ounce of silver. So the denarius was a tenth of an ounce. You hear about like the half shekel. Half shekel is, I believe it's a half ounce. So that used to be like the religious tithe, like what people would give to, like the Jewish people would give to the temple. And that's a half ounce. So that would be 10th ounces, right? Mm-hmm. Which would be like 5 days hard work, which to me seems like a lot. Like, if they're supposed to take a day off for the Sabbath, does that mean they're working 6 days? And of that, like 5 of those days, that income goes towards the tithe? I don't know. Historically, I thought a tithe is supposed to be about 10% of what you make. But those are all questions I have not been able to answer in my research. Maybe somebody out there that knows the answer could hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, email at...
yeah, and hard work back then was hard labor. Like, they didn't have machinery and...
No, nothing.
It was...
Exactly. So that's why they say a tenth ounce of silver is historically a 1 day's hard labor. So Rome, what they started doing...
As it originally became currency...
And for millennia, that was of known as, like, yeah. So if you guys
before inflation or something, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you can't have inflation if you have honest money. That's why they call it honest money, because you can't print more silver.
It's a physical. Yeah,
it's a thing. What you get inflation from is like a dollar used to represent a certain amount of silver. Mm-hmm. And when they detached dollar issuance to actual silver backing, then you can print as much dollars as you want. It actually went from silver to gold backing. We're going to get into that history because it gets a little shady. But if it's not backed by anything, a dollar's not backed anything, then you can start printing a ton of it. That's when you get inflation. Inflation, that's another deception, ladies and gentlemen, is inflation is not an increase in prices. That's what we've all been taught, right? Inflation is an increase in the money supply. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, you usually get increased prices because there's more dollars competing for the same amount of goods and services, right? So what Rome ended up doing is actually, and they kind of did a little bit of inflation, but this is how they did it, is they would start taking away from the silver content in their denarius. The denarius would have 90% silver, then it would have 80% silver, but it was the same size, it just had alloys mixed in.
Yeah.
And they declared that it still had the same value. It was still, you know, declared by the government to have to buy the same amount. But then when people started finding out that there's not as much silver in it, it became worth less. Mm-hmm. That was one of the major reasons for the fall of Rome. It was the debasement of their currency. And if you think about it, that's really a lot what's happening today. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to what's happening today. So
it's like how Hitler got the following he did by debasing the currency and creating an enemy, correct?
Who's that?
Hitler.
Did he debase their currency? Well, no. He did something a little different. I see how you would say debasement. He took over control of Germany's currency issuance from a lot of the large banking institutions who he thought was run by Jewish cabals, which they were. Mm-hmm. It was run by Jewish cabals, which is one of the reasons why he believed that there was a Jewish conspiracy against Germany. And that's one of the reasons why he was able to convince the Germans to hate Jews, right? Another reason is that the Soviet Union, the people that formed that were leaders in the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia were Jewish. And that gets a little deep. They were Jewish, but they came out of something called the Jewish Reform Movement that goes back to Freemasonry. So for some reason, Freemasonry was spitting out Jewish leaders to do a lot of this stuff. It gets really complicated in that part of history. But what I personally think is that Jewish people have always been used historically as the scapegoat for conspiracies. And yeah, for sure. And it's going to happen again. Like when people start finding out that there's a conspiracy going on right now, a massive conspiracy, a major push will be to blame the Jews because the Jews are in charge of Hollywood, banking, all this stuff. But I don't believe it's a Jewish agenda. I believe it's a religion that's a little different than Judaism. Mm-hmm. But that goes whole different subject, which we will get into on this show. I believe it's Mystery Babylon, but that's something else. Okay, so now we're going to fast forward to the 1340s, okay? Now, at this point, the Templars, who formed like your first real major banking cartel, is that when you had the Crusades going on in Jerusalem, you had Europeans going towards Jerusalem to reconquest the Holy Lands that had been taken by the Muslims, right? Once they ended up getting a hold of Jerusalem, they set up the Templars, the Knights Templar, through the Pope, set up these banking institutions to where the people that were immigrating from Europe to go down there to be in the battle could deposit their gold in depositories, banks, essentially, in Europe, get issued certificates by these Templars, and then they could go to Jerusalem, redeem the certificates, and get the precious metals for them. So that's
if they were saving it, it was a suppository.
Exactly, and you don't want to know where they were saving
it. It was a different time.
People were more hardcore back then, man. We need to bring back those days. Psych. Some things technology has really helped on. So, after the Templars ended up all getting rounded up and executed and arrested all in one day. That's why Friday. That's why you hear about Friday the 13th. That's the history of Friday the 13th.
That's the day synonymous with banking cartels, or
what? No, the Templars, the Pope, and the King of France conspired against the Templars. They sent all their security letters saying these are the guys that you are to arrest when the sun rises on Friday, October the 13th, 1307. And they arrested all of the Knights Templar, and they killed their leader, Jacques de Molay, in front of everybody. It was a mad spectacle, and that's why the Templars, even to this day, vow like payback against the church, against the mob, because the mob let it happen. They were like cheering on the burning of Jacques de Molay. So
burned him. Damn.
Yeah, they burnt that dude in front of, I believe it was in front of Notre Dame, the cathedral.
Oh, not the guy with the weird back.
No, different guy.
Okay,
different.
I think that was his name anyway, huh?
No, he was the hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay, gotcha.
And I'm not saying it right, but there's a French way to say it, like Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Notre.
Well, you know what you're talking about. Not the place where the Fighting Irish play. Absolutely.
No. Notre Dame. But it is named after that. Old-ass, beautiful-ass cathedral.
Yeah, it's cool.
So, after that whole thing went down, you had a different, like, Italian banking cartel arise, and that was the Peruzzi and Bardi banking families. This is in the 1340s now. They engineered a financial collapse out of Venice. And this financial collapse really kind of... people have made the argument that this actually led to the Black Plague, that the poverty that was that came result, after this financial collapse brought on such conditions that could like fester like the Black Plague. Okay, so this banking family, they issued certificates for gold and silver in their vaults. People would deposit gold and silver. They issue certificates so that you wouldn't have to carry around these coins. The coins used to eat holes in people's pockets, and it just wasn't certificates were better way to travel.
You want to carry a big old bag of metal around, essentially.
I guess back, like, even in this country, they used to have to like line their pockets with leather.
Mm-hmm.
Or carry like special like money belts, because the coins would just eat holes in their pockets. Crazy, huh? Well, they eventually issued more certificates than they had backing in their vaults.
Sounds familiar,
right?
Totally.
Some say up to 100 times as much. Now, at the same time, concurrently, King Edward III of England, he defaulted on a loan to them. All these things combined sparked a collapse in 1345. Also, at the same time, Eastern civilizations like China and India, they were draining precious metals in trade. They wanted precious metals because that was their silver was their currency. And they had goods, like China had silk, ceramic, and tea. Everybody wanted this stuff. China wanted the silver, and we'll get into it. That actually gets a little interesting. So anyways, the Eastern civilizations, they sold goods, but they weren't interested in any of the European goods. So they were draining the metals out of Europe as well. And then so after this collapse came, right after this collapse came what we historically know as the Dark Ages.
Okay, cool.
So the Black Plague, sorry, the Plague and the Black Death followed. There is massive deflation. So if we know what inflation was, is an increase in the money supply, there is massive deflation because there is a decrease massively in the money supply, right?
Yeah, so something you paid for has no, you know, I mean, way less value than when you paid for it.
And yep. And there's not as much money to go around. Like the real estate
we see today, you know, you could buy a house for $300,000. If the market crashes, it's may not be worth $100,000, you know.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That just, you know, happened recently.
Well, what happens then is prices plummeted. Like churches sold religious artifacts to raise funds. This lasted for over 100 years, and this is when England went on their tally stick system for their currency. I don't know if you know about that, but their currency became a system of sticks. It'd be like a long stick, and they would cut grooves in it, almost like a key, and then they would split the thing down the middle, and the king would keep one half, and then he'd spend the other half into the economy. And he accepted these sticks in payment as taxes, so they had value. But that was their currency for like 700 years. England was on a tally stick system.
That's so weird.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah, I mean, humans are such a weird species.
I mean, I agree. It's weird. But
I mean, like, we're in debt. You know, the world is in debt. But we're the only world with a currency. Like, there's no other species. Who are we in debt to? It's like
ourselves.
Ourselves. We create these.
I would say that it's a parasitic class.
Yeah.
There's a parasitic class that historically is always kind of fed.
But the stick thing to me is silly because it's like, I'm sure there's plenty of trees in England. You could go grab plenty of sticks. But if it's not marked a certain way, it's, and the king doesn't have that half, it's no value. But
because he could actually,
otherwise, it's just a piece of fucking wood. It's just a piece of fucking wood.
Sure. Well, look at right now. What do you spend? You spend dollars. It's just a piece of paper.
It's actually cotton.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, you know, dollars are in, it's made out of cotton.
I did all the research for the show and I did not know that.
It's okay.
Thought it was paper.
Well, it's like a paper. Essentially, it's paper, but, you know, it's made out of a cotton.
Okay. So, like a natural fiber.
Yeah.
But softer than wood.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, I mean, that's what I've been told.
Enlightenment.
That's awesome. Like, wash my dollars or see if they shrink or anything.
Yeah, because I was going to go somewhere with it, but...
Well, it's probably like a blend, a cotton blend. But I've always been told it's out of cotton, because it feels, you know, the feeling of it is...
Yeah, it's very soft.
Whatever.
I want to wipe my ass with it. Just kidding.
No skid marks. You'll probably have more skid marks.
I got the cleanest asshole because I wipe it with money. Okay.
I have stuck some dollars in butt cracks before.
You have?
Not in my...
Oh, yeah.
It's a good time.
Okay. So, after this, governments kind of started taking control of, like, banking and trade. So, after that, like, you see a lot of kings issuing currencies and that kind of stuff. So, fast forward to 1545, the Spanish Empire. Okay, at this time, they came over to the Americas, and they started conquering like crazy in Central and South America. England and France were kind of doing North America. England, especially in like America and the colonies, and France and Canada. That's why Canada still speaks French. But the and that's why South America and Latin America speak Spanish.
But I mean, back then, I'm just worried about wondering before it became a currency or anything, or before we became developed nations, it must have been way more abundant or easy to find because, I mean, how were they mining for this stuff and how did it become the the currency or get value? Or, I mean,
well, it has value because it's difficult to mine.
Yeah.
That's why it has value.
You're talking about the 1300s. Mm-hmm. It must have been easier to find and mine for.
Not easier. Just as tough. Actually, comparatively, the value of silver back then compared to, like, I think I saw a chart that said in 1998 U.S. dollars, the value back in the 1300s of silver was like $800 an ounce. Now, if you consider that's $1,998, we're probably double that level of inflation now. So you're talking like $1,500, $1,600 probably per ounce of silver back then. It was difficult as shit. It's still difficult, extremely difficult to mine. You should see what they do. As a matter of fact, most silver that's mined out of the ground, they're not exclusively silver mining operations. Silver becomes a byproduct off of mining other things.
I'm just curious about like the discovery of it, you know, the first human being to discover this shiny rock and put value on it.
Yeah, I don't know.
And useful, you know, useful elements too.
But I do know that it came, gold and silver specifically came to be known as money and having value. And it's important that we understand too that they didn't just be, they weren't just declared by a powerful person one day to have value. They literally like evolved to have value and to be understood historically over thousands of years as a store of wealth. And we do go into that more on our Monopoly Money episode. I think it's episode number 4 or 5, if you guys want to check it out. We get into why gold and silver historically have had value. But in the 1545, the Spanish Empire came over. They conquered Latin and South America, and they recruited, they actually required the slaves, the indigenous people, to work in the silver mines. And there were such big silver mines here. So they mined massive amounts of silver in the New World, and they used it for trade in Europe and China. And this is how one of the reasons why China, the Chinese Empire, got... Or sorry, the Spanish Empire got so powerful back then. It was the biggest empire in the world at that point. And it's because of the silver that they mined in the Americas when they came over here. As a result of that extra value, they built up their military. And they said that over 8 million slaves died just in the Bolivian mines alone, like in the mines in Bolivia.
8 million?
8 million. Jeez, yeah. Hey. It's very dangerous, difficult, and exploitative, which is why it was worth the equivalent of $800 to $1,000 an ounce until better mining technology brought the price down. So now the price is where it's at now. Probably manipulated, but technology tends to bring the prices of things down because it becomes easier.
Less labor.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it's slaves, you're not paying the labor. It just takes longer to get it.
It's still tough to get, and it costs you lives, you know? So you can charge a certain amount. So, by the late 1700s now imagine in Europe you've got Napoleon doing his thing. In America, you've got us... signing our founding documents at this point. China accumulated 40% of the world's silver supply through trade. They made silver their currency. Europe, especially England, had a massive trade deficit with China. Like I said before, England wanted all the Chinese stuff. You can't. That's why English people love their tea. Mm-hmm. You're like, even to today, they're like, it's tea time. It's 2 o'clock. It's tea time. That comes from like the what they learned, the habits they learned from China.
Okay. I didn't know. That's cool.
So China had three things that England specifically loved: tea, ceramic, and what was the other one?
Fortune cookies.
Sorry, silk, porcelain, and tea.
Oh, okay.
So, England paid gold and silver for this because that's what China wanted. China didn't want any goods from England. England even sent a delegation to show off their best products to try to neutralize that trade deficit with China, and China turned everything down. Well, after this, England needed to solve this problem of gold and silver leaving their country, specifically silver, and the financial hit from losing the Revolutionary War. British and the East India Company thought up to sell opium to India and China. And they got a huge amount of the population addicted. So you heard of the opium wars?
And dens and stuff. Yeah.
This is how they started. This is why and how they started. Is because they were selling opium. They were trying to drug up opium to try to get the silver back.
Yeah. Smoking it back then.
Yeah. Right? Wow. Mm-hmm. So a lot of China's leadership got addicted to opium too. So opium was illegal at that time in China, and China found a massive shipment. I think they said there was like 20,000 crates total. They seized it and they burned all the opium. This led to Britain actually attacking. And this is what we know as the Opium Wars. There's three of them. So Britain won. Britain's technology was too good. I actually saw a few stories of China just totally capitulating because Britain had these massive like metal hulls, and you're still talking about wooden ships in China. And so, I mean, they just didn't have the technology. So China lost, and as a result, as part of the terms of agreements, British got Hong Kong, which they only recently gave back up to the Chinese, and China had to pay a huge amount of silver as a fine. So, and the British continued selling opium in China. So China may currently be positioning themselves for a historical payback. We'll get into that in a little bit. People don't forget.
Yeah, that's true.
So at the same time, in America, we'll talk a little bit about money now. Around the same time, over halfway across the world in America, Massachusetts was the first colony to print money, and they did it to pay their soldiers. Okay,
were these the greenbacks or the
no greenbacks were the Civil War. This okay. is I don't have the name of the money. I know that they had colonial script back then, and I don't know if that's what this is talking about. But the government said the paper was on par with gold and silver in value. So the government said, hey, this is the equivalent value. So that's why they were able to pay their soldiers with it, because the government said that it was worth that much. Mm-hmm. As the government got in the habit of printing more, inflation set in, and gold and silver was either hoarded or it went abroad. And that goes into something called Gresham's Law. When you start getting into like economics, and like especially like Austrian economics, you'll hear about Gresham's Law. Gresham's Law basically says that bad money drives out good money. For that same reason, is that if they've got a bunch of these paper things and they're saying this is equal to what the silver and gold is, people are going to go, and then the government starts introducing more of that paper money. Because it's irresistible to do that. The people are going to take the stuff that actually has value, and they're going to hoard it. So Gresham's Law basically says bad money drives out good money. Other colonies did the same thing, and that resulted in a shortage of gold and silver coins. At that point, Parliament then prohibited government and the issuing of paper money. And then you get why that's added into the Constitution, is when they say no state shall accept anything other than gold or silver in a payment of debts. That's why they put that in the Constitution. So we are going to take a little break. That's a lot of information right there, and some cool ass history that you never ever learn in school. And we'll be right back.
See ya.
All right, Nick, go ahead and tell me. You met the drummer of this band?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite bands, Strung Out. That was West Coast Trendkill on their latest album.
I dig it.
Yeah, during the break, we were just talking about, you know, punk rock. And to me, how cool punk rock is, you know, every time I've seen that show, like, you run into one of the members of the band, and then they're always, like, down to talk to you, and, you know, they love the support that they get from their fans. And
pretty cool dude.
I think that's cool. Yeah, like, Jordan Burns, he's the drummer for that band, and we were just talking about how awesome the drum beats are and all their songs and stuff. And, yeah they just played, and last time I seen them, they played right before Bad Religion. And, you know, they got off the stage or whatever. We went outside to drink a beer, and he was just standing there, like, talking to somebody, and we just made eye contact and did the head nod. And I got to at least say, shake his hand and say, dude, thank you guys so much for playing like you do, and, you know, you're badass. And they appreciate it. You know, it's not like that rock star. They're not too big for anybody.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I appreciate that about them.
That's cool. But I think if you ever get into something like that, and then you're not, like, enjoying your, like, clientele, then it's time to start doing something else.
Yeah. Know?
Like, they're
still humble is what I think is cool about it. You know, like, they play around the whole world, sell massive albums, but keep their humility.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right, so we left off around colonial America period here in the story, the saga of Silver. So this is why we talk about how paper money was outlawed in the early colonies, because they experienced inflation with paper money. So in the Constitution, the coining of money was a power that was given to Congress. And I don't think Congress really understands that today, that it's their job to coin the money in the Constitution. And who prints the money?
Federal Reserve.
The Federal Reserve. So they abdicated their responsibility illegally via the Federal Reserve Act in 1913. It's an illegal act. It goes against the Constitution. Should be null and void. So in 1789, you had something called the Coinage Act. After Congress is charged with... after Congress is charged with coining money, you had 1789, the Coinage Act. So in the Coinage Act, basically...
But how is the America today justified doing this since 1913? They don't get called to the carpet on it? Like,
but it
doesn't get brought up at all.
Congress voted for it. It passed Congress.
So it's dirt on them.
There's been several things that have been absolutely unconstitutional, illegal, that Congress has abdicated their responsibility, and it's just flown. Now, one of them is impeachment of Hillary when she was part of the Department of Defense. If she is even suspected of committing a crime, it's on Congress to hold impeachment proceedings. They didn't do that. And if they did that, and she was actually found to have guilt, she would not be able to run for president now. Yeah. We wouldn't even have a problem anymore, you know?
But, I mean, she's under FBI investigation, and she's still running for president. How is that okay?
It's crazy. I'm telling you, this nation is flipped upside down.
If a guy wants to drive a fucking trash truck, and he has an FBI investigation, he's not getting a fucking job to drive a fucking trash truck.
Yeah, no, because he's currently under investigation. Even if he's
not
guilty.
Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
You can be president, though.
Yeah, fucking A.
That's nuts. We are nuts. Are you out there? Are you guys listening? We are absolutely nuts as a society. Let me find my notes on this particular subject. Oh, man. That's a bummer. I don't have it. Anyways, what I was going to say is... So in the First Coinage Act, you basically had silver that was worth a certain amount. The dollar was actually worth a certain amount of silver, Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, sorry, I was looking it up.
So, in the Coinage Act of 1792, it was signed by Washington, and it made the dollar as 371 grains of pure silver, okay? And the whole coin was 90% pure silver with 10% alloy, okay? But 371 grains of that was pure silver, okay? The dollar was actually a weight of silver, basically. Now, they tied the they also made something called the Gold Eagle. And they tied those two coins. The Gold Eagle was 247 grains of gold, okay? They tied the ratio of silver to gold at 15 to 1, okay? So, silver was always worth, or gold was always worth 15 times more than silver was. And it would, they were tied. We actually had something called a bimetallic system because of that. We had two metals and our currency was backed by the two metal standard, but silver was the dollar. Okay. So we hear about gold backed currency nowadays.
Yeah.
And everybody forgets about the silver.
So, and then there's half eagles, quarter eagles.
Yeah. So, silver coins were minted in different denominations. They had quarters, halves, dimes, okay? And then we talked about the gold being set up as 247 grains of gold. And it was set at $7 to $10 and accepted as a legal tender. But it kept a separate definition from the dollar. The eagle was not the dollar. The dollar was silver, okay? The official unit in this country was silver. And there's a reason for that. Historically, what had happened is gold became known as the rich man's money, and silver became known as the working man's money, okay? Which is why the founders derived our basic unit of currency as the silver dollar. All right. So this act also allowed for free coinage of people's gold and silver. They would, the government would assay the fineness and stamp the governmental seal onto a coin. So a miner could come in, bring silver in, and the government would coin it for free. Or, and then sometimes for a small fee. Silver was chosen because it was more plentiful than gold and more durable. Gold was considered the money of the rich, and the silver was considered the money of the people. Since it was more plentiful, it represented decentralized control from the money system. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Why silver represents that. Gold's more expensive. An ounce of it nowadays is $1,300. You know, that would hit a lot of people just to buy 1 ounce. An ounce of silver right now is like less than $20. You could buy multiple ounces of silver. Mm-hmm. That's why it's the money of the people, right?
But if you wanted to, buy an ounce, you're not going to get a physical ounce of gold, though. It's going to be...
You could get a physical ounce of gold. Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
Okay.
You can call Swiss America Trading. Get a physical ounce of gold. Yep. No problem. Or a physical ounce of silver. No problem. I say no problem. Until enough people do it, and that would exploit the silver manipulation. We'll get into how and why. But if everybody demanded physical metals when they bought it, it would crash the whole financial system.
Yeah, because they don't have... It's limited.
Yeah, and they're issuing certificates for gold and silver that they don't have in their vaults. They're lying. Just like the collapse in 1345. Same exact thing. But that's a little later in the show.
But like you mentioned, Swiss America Trading, obviously they're an honest group, I guess, because, I mean, it'd be easy to be manipulated and say, oh, yeah, that's real gold. But if you didn't know how to test your metal, like I've seen things where you've had to like literally test your coins.
Yep. There are ways to test them. You can test them with acids. Certain acids eat you know, different substances differently. They've got silver test kits. One of the big ways, a lot of the there was a scare for a while that the gold that we were buying from China was tungsten, and it was just gold wrapped tungsten. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty sneaky the way they did it, because this tungsten, the gold wrapping on the outside was actually kind of a thick gold wrap layer, so even if you scratched it with something, it would still look like gold. Yeah. It wasn't until you got to drill all the way into your like gold bar to find the tungsten, and tungsten has a very, it's has about the same density as gold, but it's worth way less. So that was one of the ways China was trying to attack our currency system. One of the ways that they got around that also was sound. There's sonograms that they can actually shoot into the bars of gold that mm-hmm. can tell whether it's gold or not. So that's kind of interesting too. But we don't have that access to that stuff at home. So you've got to go to a reliable broker.
Yeah.
Which is why I recommend
Swiss America Trading.
Yeah.
Tell them we sent you.
Actually, that is our, it's not our sponsor, but we really appreciate them as a company. And if you guys would like to buy some silver, I recommend them because they'll actually talk to you about real subjects, and you can tell them what you want and why you want it and why you're into precious metals. And if you're looking for something to protect your savings against the devaluation of the dollar, which is being devalued as we speak, they understand why you're going to them, and they'll talk to you honestly. I recommend them. So that's our little spiel. And then if you do buy something from them, tell them that you heard about them on the Beacon podcast. Okay.
How long does it take? Like, so you call them up. Do you have a guy that you call, say, hey man, I gotta go buy this stuff?
Yeah, Gary Belson.
Is it electronic? You just say, here's my card or whatever, or do you send a check, cash, whatever?
I think your first order with them, you have to do like a
money order,
money wire.
Okay.
Just so they can like trust you. And then after that first one, if that all goes fine, then I think that you can just electronically do like a bank transfer.
And then how long it comes in the mail, obviously, or do you go to your bank to pick it up?
In the mail, certified mail. So you got to sign for it. It's all insured. And so, it will get in your hands.
Cool.
Or you don't pay, you know? It comes to your house. If that's where you want it to go, it comes to wherever you want it to go, but
yeah,
probably should go to your house. Why would you send it to anywhere else? Right. But, yeah, even if it's, and they can even set you up on, payment plan, like, monthly plans to where you say, hey, I want to do $100 a month or $200 a month. And then they'll just set you up on a regular thing where you give them your banking institution and $100 a month or $200 a month, they deduct, you get the silver.
Really?
It comes right to you. Or silver or gold or whatever you want, you know?
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought I had to save a chunk of money, buy some, save some more money, buy some.
No. Nope.
Oh, okay, cool.
Nope. They make it really, really easy. So, okay, continuing on. So we talked about the Coinage Act of 1789. So in 1834, the country proceeded along. In 1834, you had an amendment, kind of a different coinage act, and it changed the silver-gold ratio from 15 to 1 to 16 to 1. More silver was being mined. It was becoming more plentiful. And in Europe, it reflected a difference in the values, and we had to take that difference in values also. Because just like Gresham's Law applied to the paper currency before, it could apply in this case too. If you had a 15 to 1 ratio that skewed silver as being worth more than it actually is at that point, then you would see gold getting chased out of the country because of that, or people would hoard it. So, and they know that. And so they had to change the ratio to a proper ratio to 16 to 1. So then you had the Civil War after that. Gold and silver was leaving the country at that point, partly because of that Gresham's Law. So Lincoln ordered $431 million in greenbacks as legal tender, which people were required to accept as money. Just like before, when the government says, this is worth what that's worth.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just a piece of paper, and that's gold and silver.
Yeah.
So gold and silver historically have been called specie. So if I say specie, you know what I'm talking about. So specie payments were outlawed after Lincoln issued the greenback. They weren't actually allowed again until 1879 to be accepted as payment. So he wanted people to only buy and use the greenbacks. This was part of he was trying to get away from the European banking cabal. Mm-hmm. This country has a long history of trying to get away from the European banking cabal. And this was an attempt to do that. They actually helped foment the Civil War. There's so much like history behind the Civil War, like how it really happened. Slavery is just what they tell people nowadays because they want to create a race war,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, in 1873, after the Civil War ended, you had another coinage act. This is called historically... Oh, should we do this after the break? Because this is like a major point in the whole talk.
Yeah, man. I was thinking about if it was... But it's not illegal now to buy with... silver or gold, obviously. I mean, if they're able to ship it to us, we were talking about Swiss American trading.
Yeah.
If you saved up enough coinage and it inflates, the price, you know, the value goes up. I wonder what the process is. Like, say, if you wanted to buy a house or a car and just went in with straight up physical silver.
They wouldn't take it.
You'd have to transfer it over to dollars, I guess.
I think a bank might take it. Like a reputable bank.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there's no way a car dealership would take that as money.
But a house, like nothing. Yeah. I mean,
well, like real estate, I think is a little bit different because there's something called a lodeal title where actually you don't have like mineral rights to your property unless like when you get your title to your house, say you pay it off, you get your title, you don't actually own your property. That's why you have to pay taxes on it. That's why you still need permits.
Mm-hmm.
You don't actually really own it. To really own your property, you have to have what the kings used to have, and that's something called a lodeal title. Now, a lodeal title, you can only get by paying for your property in gold or silver, in real constitutional money. So you would have to buy your property in gold or silver and then request a lodeal title, and then it's yours. You don't owe taxes. You can drill as deep as you want. You have mineral rights. You have water rights. It's yours. But it's a whole different thing. And you're not going to find a whole lot of information out there on a lodeal title. It's not popular.
That, yeah.
It's hardly anybody knows about it. But that's what kings used to have. That was like king's ownership. There's been historically different classes of people. And that's something that people also got to understand. Like even in this system, there's different legal statuses and there's different legal systems. And that goes back to ancient Rome. Rome had a wealthy class, a slave-owning class, and then they had slaves. The slaves, you were actually a status, a legal status that was called like something like Capitis Maxima, and the slave ownership class was actually called like Capitis Diminutia. And that was all whether or not you capitalized the letters in your name or not.
Oh, wow.
And if you capitalized the letters in your name, you belonged to Capitus Maximus, and that was the slave class. So you look at when you get a piece of mail and tell me if their letters are all caps or not. if it's sent to you in all caps, then it's talking about your straw man. Your straw man is a legal entity that is set up when you're born and a birth certificate is signed. When you're born and a birth certificate is signed, a corporation is set up in your name with all caps. And that's the, that is the, essentially the equivalent of the Roman slave. Mm-hmm. But that's, the government can only act against your corporation. It cannot act against you physically as a person. It can only act against you physically as a person, as a living being, if you are representing your corporation. So when you go into court, that's why they ask you, is your name blah, blah, blah.
And yeah, but can't we be used as debt to, like, you know, to pay off debt to other countries?
Yes.
You know, say, for example, China's, you know, we have a debt to China.
We're sold.
And we are a corporation.
Like,
and what I heard was, like, the human life is valued at, like, $600,000, $700,000 a person, as it is now.
Yeah.
But that's why your birth certificate, your name is in full capitals.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. That's where I really want to end up going on this show. That gets into the 14th Amendment. And after the Civil War, the Reconstruction Acts provided the legal framework for all this to happen. When they said they freed the slaves, they didn't. What they did is they created a new legal class of people, and blacks and whites were all in it. Mm-hmm. They made everybody
slaves.
Slave. Yeah. But that was part of the Reconstruction after the Civil War. Definitely a lot of cool stuff that we absolutely have to get into.
I wouldn't say cool, but unfortunate and interesting, right?
Yeah, you're right. It's not cool. It's actually horrible, but cool to know.
Yeah, exactly. Good to know.
Good to know. Because it's the only way of fighting back is...
It'd be cool to just be a free human being.
That's it. That's
alone,
the goal.
I'd imagine.
And that's why I think that is the end goal of humanity, really. Is an absolutely free society where you are a king or queen. And that's how really this system was supposed to have been set up. But through the years, lawyers and different entities have taken control, and it gets pretty interesting. The Vatican. So let's take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the craziest crimes to ever exist in America, the crime of 1873.
Ooh-wee.
Living in a dream.
That was a cool jam.
That is cool. For some reason... Oh, there's the end of it. I was like, it says it still has like 30 seconds left.
We don't want downtime.
No. Nobody loves.
Dead air.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody.
Oh, man. Son of a bitch.
All right, cool.
What's this band? What do you say?
Born.
Born.
Like B-O-R-N-E, I think. Or B-O-R-N-S. Something like that.
Like the crime fighter who doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Jason Bourne.
Yeah. I like those franchises.
Where am I? I just remember horrible. So that's another movie where this guy went through mind control, like top secret governmental programs in order to become like some brainwashed killer.
Yeah, like unstoppable.
Right? And I don't know, man. It's pretty scary, but some of these programs actually exist. I have a book by a Harvard professor, and it's called Physical Control of the Mind. And they've actually been able to insert chips into like bowls into their heads that actually get them to behave certain ways.
Whoa.
And the first chip that they ever implanted in this bowl, they had one of the... what are these guys called with the red flag?
The bullfighter?
The bullfighter guys.
Yeah, luchador. Not luchador. Is it luchador? No, that's something else.
I forget what they're called.
But yeah, the bullfighting, the Spanish guys.
Those guys.
Yeah.
They.
Why am I thinking luchador?
I don't know.
Luchador, no?
I don't think I've ever
checked it out.
But they essentially, when the bull would start like charging towards the bullfighter, they would... activate the chip in its brain, and it would stop the bull instantly. You can see old videos on YouTube. They've got them.
No, a luchador is a freaking Mexican wrestler, bro. I'm a dumbass.
Luchador.
Yeah, like Nacho Libre. Yeah.
Oh yeah. All right. Well,
I really feel dumb because that's like a pretty common thing, the bullfighting.
Okay, I'm going to get in now to the crime of 1873. The bullfighter. It's a...
There's a proper name. There's a name for it, though.
Okay. All right, well, I don't want to spend too much time.
That's kind of a sad thing, though. I mean, I'm not a big PETA person, but I guess that's their culture, but like they stabbed the shit out of that bull. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't.
I guess they do use
they suffer the
all
fuck
of it.
Out of the,
but still, yeah, like, don't ever make something suffer. Like, that's just douchebag. Such douchebag.
But I mean, it's like a, I think in that culture, it's a feat of bravery. Like, I mean, it's pretty fucking brave to go in there with an animal that size. But
for sure,
they just slowly just stab it to death, and it's like, oh, stab
until it just gets weak.
And then the next day, menudo, it's barbecue,
tripas. So,
do you like tripas?
I mean, I'm not big on it.
I can't get down with it, but
I'm not big on it. But I like eating different like organs, just because they offer you like different nutritional stuff. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in 1873, they called it another coinage act, but really it was the crime of 1873. And what they did is, by law, they basically declared that silver was no longer money, and they went on a gold standard. This essentially demonetized silver.
It's okay? Matador, by the way.
Oh, Matador, of course.
God dang it. Dude, we played one of the songs by Mariachi Bronx about the Matador.
Yeah.
Remember? The metaphor for life? Yeah. Okay, sorry about that.
I hate being stupid.
I say brain farts.
Yeah, brain farts.
It's like,
for sure.
It's right there. You know the name. You know the word.
Well, I got my head full of like
silver stuff.
Silver stuff.
Yeah, you're not thinking about bulls fighting and
no
tripas.
Tripas. So they, in 1873, they demonetized silver because they stopped the free coinage of silver by the mint, and they forbade. They didn't allow silver purchases over $5. So anything more than $5, you had to spend gold.
Mm.
You had to use gold. Anything under $5, you could still use silver for. But what it essentially did is it demonetized silver, okay? So this ended bimetallism in this country, and it created a gold standard, which it cut the money supply in half. half. Okay, also in 1873, the dollar was redefined in gold terms.
Mm.
So they made gold the money.
Did the rich man stuff.
And silver was no longer money. Now, silver was just an industrial metal. So the value of silver plummeted overnight. The money supply got cut in just about half. Now, what do we know about money supply shrinkage? Deflation.
Mm-hmm.
That's deflation. You had massive deflation, and this led to something called the famine of plenty. It's that they still had as much goods and services to go around. They only had half the amount of money. And it caused a massive depression. This empowered the lending class because the debt wasn't devalued. And the debt and gold stock almost equaled all goods and services. And here's how this works. In 1873, the money supply was, there was about $3.8 billion in silver. And there is about $3.7 billion in gold. Almost equal amounts. Now, for the same amount of goods and services, you don't have both of those combined. You only have the $3.7 billion in gold that becomes the money. So all the same goods and services is fighting for that same $3.7 billion. The price has plummeted. There was actually about $450 billion in total goods. At that time, there was also about $200 billion in debt. Now, the debt didn't get devalued, so people still owed $200 billion, but there was only $3.7 billion to go around for all that. So it really empowered the lending class because they really made out like bandits because of that, mm-hmm. because they were still owed $200 billion for half the money in circulation. So if there was only half the money supply to service the goods and the debt, that's how that works. Prices of goods crashed that caused deflation, while the price of debt, by definition, stayed constant. So the debt almost matched the value of all the goods. Before, there was $450 billion in goods. That got devalued to about $225 billion, and yet there was still $200 billion in debt. So all the goods and services in the whole economy almost matched all the debt. That's how it empowered the lending class back then. And there's a whole book about that called The Coming Battle. It's right here. It's by Paul and Lorraine Walter. It's a husband-wife team. And they actually detail it. They go into what the Senate was talking about, what the Congress was talking about, and what European bankers were talking about. And the whole discussion of all of them prior to this Coinage Act of 1873, the crime of 1873, that essentially demonetized silver. That's amazing. Silver not money in this country.
That's what my girlfriend and I call having sex.
The coming battle?
The coming battle.
All right, this is C-O-M-I-N-G.
But who's going to get it first?
Thank you. You really put me in the bedroom. That's So,
if my face looks like this, she's in trouble.
So, that was 1873. Absolutely horrible, horrible thing that they did. So, then obviously after that, some of your major financial like happenings in this country is, you had the Federal Reserve Act in 1913. And then you had the Great Depression in 1929 that was basically caused by the Federal Reserve calling in loans, deflating the money supply, crashing prices. It was a deflationary depression.
Getting Americans used to the idea of socialism.
For sure.
Depending on government.
Sure, sure. Well, and yeah, that's exactly what it does too, is they go, we need something to stabilize the economic system. That's why they got them to vote for the Federal Reserve Act to begin with.
And tax people more. Yep. So we have something to fall back on.
But the next major thing to happen to silver happened in 1965. There was another Coinage Act. So, Kennedy, we all know that Kennedy, he signed that executive order, what was it, 11-100?
Yeah.
And 11-100, basically, he started issuing money, just like Lincoln did. He issued silver certificates for silver that the government had in their vaults. So he was basically trying to monetize silver again. Well, he was killed, right? We all know he was killed, and there's a few different reasons probably why, but he pissed off...
With a magic bullet.
He pissed off the moneyed class in multiple different ways. He did that. He exposed the Federal Reserve. He went to war with the CIA.
Yeah, it was Executive Order 11110.
Oh, okay.
Not quite 1100, but you know.
Okay. Like 11,110.
Yeah, it had more ones in it than
four ones and a zero.
Yeah.
So, the Coinage Act of 1965 eliminated silver in dimes and quarters. So, at that up until that point, dimes and quarters had silver content to them, right? And Kennedy half dollars had 90% silver. It demonetized those from 90% pure to 40% pure, okay? This was supposedly signed because people were hoarding silver. And as the value of paper money dropped due to the inflationary war spending of Vietnam, they had to respond to people hoarding silver. So there's actually speeches where you have LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson is who signed this Coinage Act of 1965. He basically took all the coins and took their silver content and reduced them. Now, we talked about the debasement of the Roman currency. He did that exact same thing. And he said that don't worry about hoarding this silver. We have like 3 billion ounces of silver in our vaults that we're going to keep this program up with. So you won't, your silver will never be worth more than the coins. It's just, it isn't going to happen, is what he was telling him. He's basically saying, don't hoard this stuff. Well, silver was hoarded immediately.
Yeah, like...
Immediately.
Good for them. I mean,
and they made money.
So your government's telling you this.
It's telling you that it's telling you that this thing that has half the silver is worth as much as a thing that has more silver. People know what's up. Gresham's law followed, and people hoarded it. And soon thereafter, the half dollar and the dollar had all of their silver content removed. Now you've got today to where if you look at a quarter or a half dollar, any of that stuff, and you test it for silver, you will find absolutely zero. You won't even find one molecule of silver in that thing, even though they deceptively have kept it looking silver.
Yeah.
That's why it looks that way still today. But it's only meant to look like silver. Pretty crazy, right? So that was the Coinage Act of 1965. Super scandalous. Horrible, horrible behavior. So we're going to kind of... So that's really the history of silver in this country. Since then, it's been legal to own... but it hasn't been issued as currency. The government, they still mint it, but it's in small amounts, and it's not issued as a currency. Like, you have to special buy it, like, as a commodity.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so let's get into now, like, why silver is valuable. Why it has a demand, okay? Well, there's 3 different demands that it has. It has an industrial demand, it has an investment demand, and it has a monetary demand, okay? So the first is an industrial demand. Next to oil, silver is the most widely used commodity ever. Ever.
And where are they mining it at? Like,
Were they mining it?
Yeah, like, where's the most popular places to mine it?
That's a good question. I actually think that I've come across that Peru has, like, a lot of mines.
Oh, yeah. Silver and coke, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, part of me thinks, you know, everyone tells me, well, one good thing Obama's done in this administration is save our forests and save our lands and stuff. I'm thinking, well, it's not for no fucking reason. I guarantee you that, because when we ever have to pay the tab, hey, we could mine these lands, right? They got to know something about it. Like, we have the Angeles Forest up here. It's, well, you can't really call it a forest. There's not really any trees or anything. But that's untouchable land.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's like,
protects it, right?
Yeah. It was Obama signed in his presidency something about, like, you know, protecting certain forest lands or this and that. But I've met it eventually. It's so they can mine for precious metals or...
Perhaps. The biggest reason is to financially crutch Americans and industry in this country.
And it does.
He's got socialist, communist ties. He is a subverter. That's just what he is. That's just, you know, we've talked about it on other episodes, and I'm not going to prove it here, but his whole upbringing is all socialist and communist activists. And then he does this stuff, and, you know, obviously, he's destroying our economic system. You know, our whole economic system is driven off of our industry and our ability to produce things, and all of the government legislation is crippling that. It's like, yeah. Ayn Rand wrote Atlas Shrugged. Same exact principle. She wrote it because she saw what was happening in her country. She immigrated over here from one of the Soviet bloc nations. Might have been Ukraine. Romania, one of them. And she wrote about exactly what happened in her country when socialism
overregulation
took over. There's a movie out now, Atlas Shrugged movie. Awesome. I totally recommend it. I think it's on Netflix. If you guys have it and you just want to go home and Netflix and chill with your bae.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have a coming battle.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about these demands. We're going to take another break.
Sweet.
Because I've got to use the restroom. Number one. Just if you guys wanted to.
We all do it.
So industrial demand next to oil, silver is the most widely used commodity ever. There are 10,000... Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, it did a skip, but I can hear you.
Okay.
I think sometimes there's like a little blockage, like...
Oh, there's a... I have a noise filter.
Yeah.
I have a filter on this.
And I think sometimes if you talk a little loud, it kind of puts a little... takes a second.
It's like it compresses the sound, but there's also like a noise gate.
Yeah.
So if something's too loud, like, it won't allow it through.
Maybe you and I hear it, but hopefully it doesn't flow through here. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know.
Sorry about, you know, technical
TV. All right. So apparently there are over 10,000 uses for silver. Industrially.
10,000.
Yeah. It's the most reflective metal of all the metals. It's the best conductor of heat and electricity. I did not know that.
Electricity, nice.
Yeah. Better than copper.
Good times.
And heat.
Yeah, but can you imagine running a bunch of lines of power lines with silver in them?
Fuck.
Jeez.
That's why they use copper, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Economically. But that's why it's used, you know, in like circuit boards.
TVs and stuff, yeah.
Because
I heard a lot of tweakers like to take old TVs and go through them, and like, you get all the precious metals out of them. Like, oh, not just TVs, but other like electronics.
Tweakers are so
not
crafty.
Just tweakers, but
they're
people
so crafty.
Have time to tear apart electronics. And
they've got nothing better to do at 3 a.m.
Freaking pieces like this big, dude. Like,
hey, good for them, man. That's work.
Yeah.
It's the second most malleable of all the metals. It's antibacterial and antimicrobial, and it is toxic to cancer cells.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why don't we just,
bombard people with silver?
Hey, if you got cancer, hey, how about a little shot of that?
The FDA can't approve it.
I heard the FDA, to prove anything, all they have to do is prove that it has two positive like proven
attributes
to it. And it doesn't matter about the side effects. If it has two positive attributes, you get to approve it.
Doubt it. The because only thing that I would cannabis. Say on top of that is that there has to be a patent.
Probably. Yeah, and it has to be patented. Yeah, right.
You know?
But, I mean, did we talk about this in the beginning of the show? Like, don't you, like, sleep on a silver mat or something like that? Or
yeah.
Silver sheets or something?
Yeah, it's a grounding mat.
But I think one time you told me about feeling sick and you, like, drank silver or something.
Yeah,
or
I silver think colloidal infused. Silver.
Colloidal silver as a vitamin?
If I start getting sick, you can actually take colloidal silver as a, like, antiseptic. Like, it goes through your bloodstream and it kills, like, bacterias and that kind of stuff. Helps.
Where do you buy this stuff at?
You can buy it at, like, a health food store.
Yeah?
They're actually thinking about outlawing it, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm one step ahead of them. I actually bought a silver, colloidal silver generator. So I actually can make it.
Out of water or something?
Yeah, you actually use water. And you use a couple of silver rods. And you electrify them, one positive, one negative. Dip it into the water. And through electrolysis, it sloughs off one atom at a time. Silver, little silver particles into the water, and then you keep going for a certain duration as long as you get a certain desired parts per million. And wow. If you have a parts per million tester, you can test it, and once it's a certain concentration that you want, there's different concentrations for different application processes. If you take it internally, like you ingest it, there's a certain parts per million you want. You can apply it topically to infections. You can apply it to your eyes. There's I actually bought a nebulizer to where you can actually inhale it. It'll nebulize it into a mist. You can inhale it.
So it goes into your bloodstream faster? Oh, lung infection. Okay.
Yeah. So, that's colloidal silver. So it has medicinal usage as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you shit disco balls or?
You wouldn't even know.
Wow.
You wouldn't even know. And I actually found out about this from the Blue Bloods, the aristocracy in Europe. They were always eating off of silver utensils.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't get sick as much as the other people. And they wondered why. And they ended up attributing it to the fact that they were always eating off of silver. So they were getting little tiny bits of silver in their system all the time.
I heard you could find gold in your turds.
Probably.
Like through, exactly. Microscopic amount, but.
Hey. So there's also an investment demand for silver. It's traded by large financial institutions. Physical demand is growing internationally and domestically, and individual investors are trending towards physical demand. And that's what I'm really kind of trying to propose, like, on this show, you know, physical demand. Sorry, I got to use the restroom, so I'm going to finish this.
Oh, I forgot. You said we were taking a break. Then.
Yeah, sorry. I'm, like, rocking in my seat.
Yeah.
The last is the monetary demand. So silver currently has no monetary demand because it's not considered money anywhere. In the event of a financial collapse, money will flow towards anything left with value. And gold might be a little bit too expensive. Going to take a break on that note. Think about that.
Sweetness.
Hello, my name is Human.
Sweet.
Alright.
That's a cool little vibe to that song. Who's that?
That is, it's tough to be able to, I can't tell when I...
Oh, sorry, dude.
That's okay. It's good for the people to know.
Well, we could just damn it.
I got it right here.
It's weird. He's like does a little rap, kind of like the new guy's rap or whatever. Like, but then also does.
You're dating yourself, like the new guy's rap.
The Wiz Khalifas or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the rap is yeah. Nobody else. And like that's the rap. Like, it used to have to be a whole song that
it's like an ADD rap.
Yeah.
Like moments of greatness and then moments of like.
Yeah. And that's part. That's a lyric. Is a lyric. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah.
Their name is Highly Suspect.
Oh.
And no, I'm not saying their name is Highly Suspect. That's their actual name.
No, I got you.
Yeah.
Got
okay.
It's a cool name.
Yeah. Not bad.
I like a cool original name.
For sure. Yeah. I agree. So I actually skipped part of this talk. I wanted to talk about the presidential election, like presidential race
that we're dealing with
now. 1896. Of 1896, the whole reason for that presidential race was between McKinley and William Jennings Bryan. And it was all based off of... So 1896 happened basically right after that crime of 1873. And they had massive deflation. And it empowered the money classes, the moneyed classes, and the lenders classes. And because of that, in 1896, the whole presidential election was based off of an attempt by William Jennings Bryan to re-monetize silver.
Was one a turd sandwich and the other a giant douche?
Why?
It's a South Park reference. Like they always, every time there's a presidential election, they do a joke on who are you going to vote for? Well, I'm definitely going for turd sandwich this year.
Because
I always go turd sandwich.
And I was then like, you're going to have to tell me what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, because they recently did a joke on the Colin Kaepernick thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
And they kind of make fun of the presidential election and... I think Hillary Clinton's the giant douche, and in this case, it's Mr. Garrison playing Donald Trump as the turd sandwich. So it's like every year we vote in a
for sure
giant douche or a turd sandwich.
We don't have a choice.
Yeah,
it's all stupid, and we're always going to end up with more debt, larger welfare state, larger warfare state when it's all said and done. This election was legit, like, William Jennings Bryan was trying to re-monetize silver because they had experienced that depression and that massive deflation and the famine of plenty. And, so he was, trying to re-monetize it. So if you guys at home, do your own research on the election of 1896, you'll see that it was all about, silver. It was all about silver. This is history you
all
don't even hear
all
in school.
About this stuff.
William Jennings Bryan, as one of his speeches, had one of the most famous speeches ever. It's considered one of the like best speeches ever about the remonetization of silver, and it's called Cross of Gold. And actually, they couldn't record it back in 1896, but he was old enough to where he could actually record his voice saying that speech later in life, and they actually recorded it.
Oh, wow.
And we have a recording of an excerpt of it. So we'll show it to you guys here. When he says a cross of gold, he says, you're going to sacrifice humanity on a cross of gold, which means you're going to go to the gold standard, and it's going to fuck up our country, basically.
Mm.
So it's called the Cross of Gold.
I come to speak to you in defense of a cause as holy as the cause of liberty, the cause of humanity. Mr. Carlyle said in 1878 that this was a struggle between the idle holders of idle capital and the struggling masses who produce the wealth and pay the taxes of the country. They tell us that the great cities are in favor of the gold standard. We reply that the great cities rest upon our broad and fertile prairies. Burn down your cities and leave our farms, and your cities will spring up again as if by magic. But destroy our farms, and the grass will grow in the streets of every city of the country. We care not upon what line the battle is fought. If they say bimetallism is good, but that we cannot have it until other nations help us, we reply that instead of having a gold standard, because England has, we will restore bimetallism, and then let England have bimetallism, because the United States has. If they dare to come out in the open field and defend the gold standard as a good thing, we will fight them to the uttermost. Having behind us the producing masses of this nation and the world, supported by the commercial interests, the laboring interests, and the toilers everywhere, we will answer their demand for a gold standard by saying to them, you shall not press down upon the brow of labor this crown of thorns. You shall not crucify mankind upon a cross of gold.
Wait. Isn't history awesome? Yeah, that's right there, a speech that is showing exactly what I'm talking about. He is saying that the gold standard is for the moneyed elite. And when he says England, the moneyed elite was in control of England. So everything England did was for the moneyed elite. They had full control of England. That's why we left England. You'll see quotes from Ben Franklin that say, religious freedom wasn't the primary reason why we declared our independence. The main reason was to declare independence from the moneyed cult, the moneyed powers in England, the Bank of England.
Right. So, and taxation too as well, right? I mean,
sure, taxation without representation. It's all part of the same thing. Religious freedom was part of the same thing.
It just took us this long to catch up to what we left to recreate, you know.
To recreate it. Well, now, ever since 1913, those same money powers crept back in.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually fought them off a few times. This is the third central bank that our country's had. The Federal Reserve is the third central bank. Not a lot of people know that, but you had one that was created just about right after signing the Constitution, like ratification of the Constitution. You had the first central bank, and then you had one right after the War of 1812. So the War of 1812 ended in 1814. You had the second one that was created. It's England coming in. Then Andrew Jackson rose the tariffs in this country and collected enough taxes off of that to pay off the debt and shut down the charter for the second central bank. And that's why there was an assassination attempt on his life. And that's why the last thing he ever said on his dying bed, they said, what is your greatest accomplishment? He said, I killed the bank.
Cool.
Isn't that cool? Then in 1913, pop back up. And now we have
that's
the
Federal Reserve. That's what we have here
now. But it is the same group. It's that aristocracy, the European aristocracy group. Some know them as the Black Nobility. We're going to get into them because when we get into like the Templars and we talk about the history of the Templars, they have a big part in that history, that group. Historically, there's this group of people. And people say there's no conspiracy. It's this provable stuff, people. Let's not be ignorant. Don't listen to your news.
I don't like the idea that anytime you say conspiracy, it's obviously a bad thing and you're crazy.
People are like, you're crazy.
Well, not back. You said conspiracy theory. It's like, it's theories. A fucking theory. If it's the same as saying a scientific theory. It's just, let's just call it a theory. I have an idea or there's a reason to believe that this is happening to us. Call it a conspiracy theory or not. Like, if you take away conspiracy theory and you say there's reason to believe that JFK was assassinated because...
There is reason to believe.
Right?
Because he was assassinated.
Okay. But take the word conspiracy theory out of it. You know what I mean? Why do people follow... Immediately go from... If you say conspiracy theory, they go, oh, fucking nut job. You're
a
fucking
nut job. I've got a theory on that. I do.
Do you have a conspiracy theory?
Yeah, no, I've got a real theory on that. It gets into what modern man is and the nature of man. So there is a self-defense mechanism that is set up in people that in order to stay safe, and even in the animal kingdom, they know the same thing, is in order to stay safe, you have to be part of the pack. Right?
Yeah.
And so the pack, if they're widely, massively led astray, confused, there's still that urge to belong to the pack, because historically that's meant your defense. They've offered you protection. It's not that way in humanity right now, though.
But we're mammals, and we react like mammals. Like,
does that make sense, though?
Yeah, theory? Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, that's cool. But what it makes me think of this meme that I had seen. Before we started the show, we were talking about memes and memes that we like and everything.
Are they memes or memes?
Yeah, shit, I don't know.
I think it's meme, but I've heard people call them memes as Maybe. Well. Let us know what you think. Beacon Podcast.
No, watch me meme.
On Facebook.
No, watch me meme.
Twitter. Watch me meme. Have you seen the white kids doing that song? The white choir?
I was making a joke about memes or memes or memes.
No, but you've heard that Kanye West song.
Memes.
It's Now watch me meme. Nay, nay. Have you heard that song?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was making a joke about.
Have you heard the white choir of kids?
No, no.
Oh,
bring it.
You got to look it up.
Bring that shit home.
Look up white. Look up choir Kanye Nay Nay.
Is that Kanye West's song? Fuck, I am old.
Is it Kanye? I thought it's Kanye.
Now watch me whip. Now watch me. That's not a Kanye West. No, that's not Kanye.
Drakers. I don't even.
Kanye's a genius. If you don't know, just ask him.
He's God.
He'll tell you.
That's why he's Jesus or whatever.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
He makes comfortable shoes.
Look that shit up.
I will be looking that up right now. But, oh, anyways, before I was talking about the meme that was...
Meme.
That, to prove your point here, meme. Is it meme or meme?
It's meme, I think.
Meme?
I don't fucking... Right. I think you're right.
You're really making me feel old this show there, homie. I just turned 35 this fucking week, dude. God damn it. Whatever, I'm an old guy. It happens. What makes it worse is I have the politician gray hair coming in. Only on the sides around the ears.
Politician.
I call them the Romneys. Everybody's like, every time I come across somebody at work that I haven't seen in a long time, I'm like, whoa, dude, you got a little more gray hair going there, huh? I go, I got the Romneys. It's cool.
It's the Romneys. It's graceful.
It's Romneys, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I like it, man. It looks distinguished.
Okay, before I look this up. Yeah, so anyways, I see this meme, whatever you want to call it. I don't give a shit. And what it was is a bunch of sheep, and there was a gate in the middle of a field.
No yeah, I fence, saw that one.
Just a gate, but all the sheep are running to go into the entrance of the gate.
Yeah, like a 20-foot wide gate. Well,
that's
right?
What they're used to.
Yeah, they just go through it.
Yeah,
because pack the first mentality one went through it.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what everybody else did.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna stand here, wait for the opening for the
now,
gate to
what
go
I
open.
Love is that Bill Cooper used to take that concept and really drive it home. He said he called the people sheeple.
Yeah, okay.
And he said, but the sheep always go through the shearing pens and then they get led to the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Always. So that's the reward for pack mentality. There it is. Put the mic to it. It's creepy.
I like the teacher lady, the piano lady. She's always the weirdest lady.
This choir is doing that song, and it's creepy. These kids are like seven or eight.
What does this song mean,
old.
Though? Like
nothing. Who knows?
Whipping. It's gotta be some sexual shit. Like skeet, skeet, skeet. I'm gonna skeet. That's not even what whipping nae nae is.
I like the harmonizing. Watch me, nae nae.
I'm sorry, but we're led to believe that we live in a fucking racist country. Dude, every white kid's... we all look up to... We love black people. We love black culture.
Black music, though. Even when blacks were slaves, we love their music.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, black people have made our fucking culture the way it is.
Sure. Well, our culture is supposed to be a, you know, they called it a melting pot. And I don't really necessarily agree with that. I think it's a place where you can do whatever you want to do as long as you're not hurting anybody. You can preserve your culture if you want.
I can see being a black guy and being pissed off about that, though. Like, can't we have fucking anything without you fucking little kids fucking our shit up? You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I never say that about white stuff.
Dude. I don't know. Like, we got country singers. Like, anytime like something comes out, initially they'll make fun of it, like bling, they got their bling on, and then a year later you have some stupid ass country singer going, I got my bling bling, and like, yeah, country, like country like, singers trying to emulate rappers and stuff like that. It's like, let them have their fucking culture, please.
Yeah,
you know,
interesting.
Yeah, I can't stand country music, I'm sorry.
I don't
it's
try
it's fucking
to,
horrible.
Oh, I hate country,
okay,
music.
Don't get me wrong.
You know what's the there, you there know what is, I equivalent country music with kindergarten songs. Like, it's like, it's like sandbox music. They're like, it's like as far as musically, it's not talent complicated musically. No. You know, they're not using like,
there's great country songs.
Structures.
There are great country songs.
Most of them are using like Garth Brooks, called a 1-4-5 progression.
Yeah,
and that shit's easy. It's like DGA.
But when I hear the stuff that they play today, I'm talking about the shit today, dude. When I hear the stuff they play today, like Hank Williams was a shit. Right? Those great country artists back in the day. But when I hear this shit today, it's just like they're just pandering to dumb fucks. Stupid fucks. It's like, gonna drink my beer at a Red Solo Cup. I got my Red Solo Cup.
Red Freedom. Solo Cup.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just, I like, and people are like,
but is that a reflection of
shit,
how stupid
God
people
damn
are getting?
We're fucking idiots.
Is it a reflection, or is it Hollywood telling us how stupid they want us to be? You know, that's another option.
Let me take a ride on my big
and
green
then you
tractor,
go to a bar and people are like,
go fast,
hell
let's
yeah
go slower,
hell yeah,
I'm gonna be a millionaire off this shit because you're too stupid to fucking listen to that shit. What the fuck, dude? People listen to that shit, dude.
I know.
And enjoy it, and they fucking...
They'll jam out in their cars. They'll jam out to so much fucking music that they don't even listen to podcasts like this. They can listen to it just as easily as they can listen to a song. It's a click with their finger, right? It's just a button push. They could be listening to this kind of, like, consciousness-expanding shit, or they could just listen to, hell yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah, and they're, like, screaming out their window, yeah, yeah! Oh, hell yeah. Like, are you really improving yourself by doing that? Really? Really?
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm open to music, totally. You know, and people are like, well, that's not punk rock, or that's not metal. Like, how many divisions of metal is there? Well, there's black metal, there's death metal, there's heavy metal, there's
acid
fucking
metal.
Acid metal. You know, it's just like, they're all playing the same
there's
fucking
hardcore,
chords.
There's punk core.
Are they using different instruments? It's drums, bass, guitars, vocals, whatever.
And then there's
right
people that, like, segregate themselves because of it.
Yeah, like,
right?
Fuck you, you're not death metal, I'm death metal, I dress like I fucking work at Knights of fucking Columbus or some shit, or where do they fight each other, the dinner and tournament.
Medieval,
you know?
Times.
Medieval Times. I'm just like Medieval Times guy.
How dare
and I'm
you?
I'm a death metal guy.
You're like, you're right, because death metal was huge in the Medieval Times. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really big.
Well, they did use a lot of metal. They dressed in metal. They fought with metal.
You know what I mean? They jousted.
They jousted with wood and metal. So there's a little
wood. You
know,
wood Nick,
so
I just made
soft
a decision. Executive decision here. We're going to split this up into two shows because we're halfway through the content and we're at 2 hours.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So
we got to end the show on music debates.
And plus, you and me just get to bullshit for a little bit.
And there's probably some silver in our guitars that we play that the metal guys play. It's a metal. We're talking about metal.
Mm-hmm. Can I just random thought that came up into my head? If you guys want to learn some really cool shit, I found a YouTube channel that is fucking awesome. I'm addicted to it.
Yeah.
It's called, and this guy is young, he's in college, but he just does a bunch of different science experiments, and it's called Cody's Lab, and it's awesome because he has land and he still has mineral rights granted down from his grandfather. So he has, whoa, land and mineral rights. So he goes out, he mines rocks, and then he does experiments with the stuff that he gets out of them. Like one of them was cinnabar. He saw this red like speckling in these rocks. So he goes, oh, that's cinnabar. I'm going to take that. He has a rock crusher, which powderizes the stuff. Oh, no. He actually mortared and thistled the rock.
Pestle and mortar.
Yeah, sorry. And then he panned it like gold panners pan, and it created a ribbon in that certain area of just the red. So it separated it based on weight. He took that red stuff out, which was cinnabar, which cinnabar is mercury sulfide. Okay? Then he isolated the mercury from it by distilling that powder. And he heated it up and distilled it. And then what's left is he straight up came up with pure mercury. The dude made mercury out of shit that he mined out of his
That's good land. Because I've always wondered, like, if I... Like, I wouldn't... Like, we're talking about mining for silver or making whatever. Like, if I had to live on my own out in the desert, like, it would take... How long would it take me to, let's say, make a bullet, make a knife, make a... You know what I mean? Make things that we need to survive.
Yeah. It took humanity thousands of years to really come up with and like add to metallurgy, right?
Yeah.
Like refining metals. This guy refines gold in one episode, and he does it chemically. So check this out. The original gold was like a nugget that had, you know, impurities and a bunch of stuff. And the episode was refining gold. So he put the gold in like a beaker. But then he added nitric acid, which really cleans the nugget. And then he added hydrochloric, like really concentrated hydrochloric acid, which ate the gold away. And then he had like a yellow, goldish looking, orangish liquid. And he called it auric acid. You know, the like Latin name for gold is like aura, like auric.
Okay.
So he called it auric acid, or he had another name for it too. But then he was able to take that, drop the gold out of that solution into, I forget what he added, but he was able to drop that gold out of solution into and dry it out into gold powder, pure gold powder. Now it was powder because he dropped it out of solution, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he took that and he had another episode where he made a homemade furnace. Let
How old is this
metal.
Kid?
He's younger kid? Than he's got to be like 30.
Oh well, you said kid. I thought he was like it's this little.
No, he's probably like 30.
Oh, okay.
And he put it in this crucible, put it down into his homemade furnace, brought it out, poured it out, boom, 24 karat gold refined by him chemically.
That he just dug up out of his own.
No, I don't know where he got the nugget from.
Oh, okay.
But fucking super. So his whole channel is all shit like that.
That's badass.
He makes his own nitroglycerin for explosives.
Wow.
He's fucking crazy.
His channel's gonna get shut down. It's fucking absolutely gonna get poor bastard.
It's so fucking cool. I mean, so if you guys just verbal diarrhea, if you guys get a chance, check out Cody's lab. It's fucking sick. It's sick, yeah. What else? Are we done?
Yeah, man. That was a great lot of information there. Next time, I will talk about how banks face U.S. manipulation probe over metals pricing.
Yes, and we're going to talk about the Hunt brothers. There was actually a billionaire family that learned the same thing I'm teaching you guys about the rarity of silver and how the price has been manipulated, and they decided to try to exploit that by investing in physical metals. And the story is amazing. It's the story of the Hunt brothers.
It's hard to believe in a little way just how different they look. If you see them, One looks like Sean Hannity, and the other one looks like fucking Dick Cheney or something. Right? Like, and they're brothers. Like
one's fat, one's skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, so then we're also going to talk about how silver is manipulated nowadays and what banks are doing it and what groups are up to it. We're going to tie that in, and it's all the same old bugaboo, the same groups. And then we're going to talk about where the future is going so that you guys can know where to invest. And we're going to talk about what China's up to in regards to silver. This stuff gets important. Ladies and gentlemen, you're only going to hear this on the Beacon Podcast. Nick, you want to sign them out with some knowledge?
I don't have any knowledge, but if you want to hit us up on Facebook at the Beacon Podcast, that would be great. We'd love hearing from everybody. You hit us on Twitter. Did I fucking say Twitter? Twitter at the Beacon Podcast, and or send us an email at thebeaconpodcast@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. We've been getting really good feedback.
Yep.
People hitting us up saying cool shit, actually sending us cool things to check out. That's always good.
I think we're out of cards.
No, I got one right here.
Hey, that's kind of cool, though, because I was waiting for us to run out until I want to design new ones with our new logo, our new graphic. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was at a brewery one time, and I don't know, we started talking about, you know, what we talk about, you know, shit, and it came across, this podcast came across. I go, well, if you're interested, you know, and I handed out a card. And they're like,
it came up in conversation.
Yeah, and then they're like, I never heard of a card for a podcast before. Because, like, the idea of a card is pretty antiquated, I guess. Like, it's, you know, in the 80s, like, well, here's my card. Like, it was a douchey move, I guess. I don't know.
I disagree.
But they're like, I think with technology and stuff, I don't know. They acted like it was weird. Like, wow, a card for a podcast? Like,
disagree.
But we're doing it, and that's how we roll.
Do you know why? If you tell somebody when you meet them, hey, check out the Beacon Podcast, you know what they're going to say? I don't really do podcasts that much. I get that all the time.
Yeah, it's still, yeah, to us, we love podcasts. I'm always listening to podcasts, and it's coming up to be bigger, but
I get that all the time. And so, you know what is so nice to be able to do is I hand them this, and I go, this is for you to keep, and it has, what, 5 or 6 different ways to get a hold of us and to get our content.
Yeah, there's a
see the Beacon Podcast are, at those people that were saying that I call them haters.
Yeah, it was weird, but they were stoked about it, you know. But it'll be great. Like we said, we love hearing from everybody, so
don't hate people. If somebody, like, still people, how dare they? People still give me cards. I get cards every single fucking week.
Well, in my work, line of work, it's like if they have a complaint or something, it's like, well, here's my card, call me. Or if they got to get back to me, it's like, here's my card. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why they have to, like, really, cards for a podcast. It was a weird.
Do you get flyers on your car? Obviously, commercially, people still think that giving somebody a piece of paper with information on it is important.
Yeah.
Hating. What I come across all the time is that when you've got, like, good ideas or
shit going on,
you know, people have lives that they just feel shitty about themselves, they start
criticizing, knocking down.
And I'm, you know what, now that I know that truth about people's behavior, and then I just go, okay, you're hating.
Here's a quote for you for that. Lions don't concern themselves with the thoughts of sheep.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Boom.
Haters going to hate, y'all. Haters
going to hate. Beacon Podcast coming at you live. Thanks for downloading. We love you.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. We're also on Stitcher.
Ugh.
Stitcher.
I thought that was a cool way to end it, and we're just going to keep rolling.
Sorry, dude. I'm so sorry. We're also on Stitcher, so please, guys, check us out. Nick, sorry to interrupt.
You got it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we love you guys. We're back next week.
See me gusta.
With the end of this saga and the story of Silver and where we're at, it's going to be intriguing, breathtaking. Please join us for the next installment. We love you guys so much. Thank you for joining us. The Beacon Podcast.
Comes with the bad, the song's never just sad. There's hope, there's a silver.